Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the BC Lions season preview conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Lucas Barrett. Please go ahead, Mr. Barrett.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the BC Lions season preview call. Today, we're joined on the line with President of Football Operations, General Manager, and Head Coach, Wally Buono, Vice President of Business, George Chayka, and Quarterback, Jonathan Jennings. On today's call, we're going to go straight to Q&As. So, Paul, if you could please ask the media to queue their questions up, that'd be great.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And at any time you wish, you can cancel your question by pressing the pound sign. So please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register, and we thank you for your patience. The first question is from Chris Schultz from TSN. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, gentlemen. Question for Jonathan. Jonathan, third year in the offense, just a little bit of a discussion on your comfort zone from the first year to the third year. And part two is you had 40 completions of 30 yards or more. What is the secret of success in that type of skill set? Is it a matter of just having the conviction and go for it? Or is there something hidden about deep ball success that maybe you could educate us on? Thank you.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've grown a lot from my first year. And first year is kind of a period of time where you just have to kind of play off your natural ability and, you know, not think too much. And I think early last season, you know, I was starting to think a little too much, like I knew something. I knew a little bit more than I did in my first year, but I was still growing and trying to manage those emotions and then, you know, that learning curve. But as it went on, you just continue to see more and more. You continue to, you know, go through progressions more and more, see it through practice, see it through the game and the tape, and you continue to learn. And I think you begin to become more comfortable with your receivers. That's been a big thing. And I think the secret to success with that is just, like you said, having a conviction and the confidence in your guys to make plays for you. I think, you know, too many times people are afraid to throw the ball downfield and afraid to allow their players to make plays. And when you got guys like Manny Arsenault, Brian Burnham, and guys that can make plays like that, you know, it makes it easy for me. Give them a chance one-on-one, and, you know, you got to know when to take your shots. But, you know, they always end up making me look good, and they're the ones out there making the plays.
And do the receivers talk to you about that in the sense that through a preparation week, they make you feel comfortable that if you throw it up, they will come through for you? Is that their that type of relationship out there?
I think any receiver is going to tell you that regardless. They all think that they can make the play and they all want the ball. So I think it's just, you know, through repetition and seeing them do that multiple times, it makes it easy for you to believe in them. And I think I also believe that, you know, receivers are on the offensive side of the ball for a reason. They're there to make plays on the ball. Defensive backs, you know, they don't play the ball as well as receivers, so you got to give them a chance one-on-one situations. As long as I can put the ball on the side of the position, you know, where our receiver has position on D back, then, you know, usually they come down with it.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. The next question is from Sean Birashi from Roundhouse Radio. Please go ahead.
Last season you led the league in rushing yards, and I just wanted to ask, what do you think you need to do to keep that momentum going this season?
It was a question to George or me. you know, I think leading the league and running is twofold. Well, I think one, it's schematics, and I think the other is commitment. You know, one of the things, you know, obviously as a club, we wanted to do was be more physical, try to control the line of scrimmage a little bit more, and try to take pressure off the quarterback. And one of the ways to do that was to commit to running the football. And, you know, I thought our offensive line, as the year got on got better and better. The fact that we kept our running backs fresh by the rotation with Mr. Johnson and Mr. Allen, I thought that was also very, very productive. And, if you can run the football, it helps you definitely early in the games, and it helps you definitely late in the games when you want to close the game off. So, we're committed to running the football. The thing that's most demoralizing as a defensive player and as a defensive coach is when you know you can't stop the run. And, I believe if we give our athletes a chance to be physical, to attack people, and you do that usually by running the football.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Jay Janower from Global BC. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Question both for Wally and John. John, last year you were one of three quarterbacks to throw for over 5,000 yards. When I look at what Wally has assembled for receivers this year, how much more dynamic can this offense be, and is beyond 5,000 yards possible? What excites you about this offense? And Wally, how much more dynamic will this offense be, do you think?
Well, I'll let John answer the question first because I think he can probably answer most of those.
Yeah, I would just say, obviously having a continuity with those guys coming back, our core group of guys, that's going to help us out regardless. Those guys have a better feel with me. I have a better feel with them. We're sticking in the same system with Kahari at the rooms. It's just a really good situation for all of us. And then you add a guy like Chris Johnson with his speed to stretch the field and his playmaking ability, it's going to make it tough on defense. And, we go back to having continuity on the offensive line. That's really key. They did a great job last year, and they're going to be back, even better this year. And then Jeremiah at running back again. Threats like Chris Rainey, there's threats all over the field. So it's going to be hard to man up and play one-on-one with those guys. And if you go zone, we can make you pay with the running game as well. So we're really excited about that, and I think that it's going to be a really dynamic offense.
You mentioned the offensive line, and Wally, when I look at the trade that you made and I look at the bodies that you can start up front there, how much better could your offensive line be this year?
Well, I think, how much better is relative to how much better the whole group's going to be. And, I think Jonathan's already made a big point about continuity within the coaches, continuity within the players. And, you look at the offensive line, you look at guys like Kirby Fabian, Cody Husband, Antonio Johnson, Charles Valancourt, Hunter Stewart. These guys are much better football players today than they were last year at this time. Yes, we lost an all-star in Joe Vaughn, but, the way I looked at it, David Foucault was an established first-round pick. So when you look at the BC Lions this year, we have three first-round picks, and David was the one that, in my mind, allowed us to look at starting a fourth Canadian offensive line as a starter, which gives us flexibility on the ratio. But yet I'm not sure that, the offensive line is going to be any less. I think it's going to be better because Jonathan will be better. The better your quarterback is, the better the offensive line is, the better your running game is, the more physical you are up front. And, these are two things that I know we'll be good at.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on the telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from Jeff Creever from CFL.ca. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time today. Just wanted to ask this question both for Jonathan and for Coach Wally. Last year in the Western semifinal, it was a bit of an emotional moment when, after getting hurt in the end zone there, Manny Arsenault goes off to the field to a chorus of 20,000 fans standing and chanting his name. Pretty obvious he has a deep connection with the fan base there. What does he mean to your organization?
Well, I'll speak on that. I mean, obviously, Manny's a guy that came here years ago as a raw talent, and I think he's worked extremely, extremely hard to be a dominant player in this league. And, I think Jonathan stated earlier in the conference about the fact that, he's got to do what he's got to do, and that's put the ball on receivers that are going to make big plays for him. And if you look at Manny's success last year, probably that was the one number one thing, is a lot of times he was covered, but yet his size, his strength, his determination to go make a play allowed Jonathan to put the ball in the position where he could make a play, and and that's what you want. I think the other thing that Manny did for us last year, he was a good leader, not only in the locker room but also on the practice field. Works extremely hard, pushes himself to get better. And when you look at our club, how he got better from the beginning to the end, a lot of it had to do with leaders like Manny. And, fans respect that. Fans respect players that will go out, play hard every week, have a good effort every week. And, that's who Manny Arsenault is.
Thank you. And Jonathan, is there anything you'd care to add on Manny and what he brings to this team, especially in the locker room?
Yeah, I think that was the biggest point that Wally just made was, he brings that intensity every single day to work. And, even when he's hurt, it kind of shows you, his relentlessness. He never stops. He never stops pressing to go as hard as he can and set a prime example for the rest of the teammates. And when you got a guy showing leadership by example like that, it encourages everyone else to rise up to his level. So, obviously, when he got hurt in that game, in the semifinals, it was really a big momentum jolt for all of us because, we wanted to support our brother and a guy that really, wears just does everything he can for this team.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Once again, please press *1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from John Keane from Radio Kamloops. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. I guess a question for both Wally and George. It's the obligatory Kamloops question. You're coming to camp here in about, let's say, 2 weeks before the staff starts showing up. Your thoughts on coming back and the fact that this is the final year of what would be an 8-year agreement over a number of extensions.
Yeah, we're excited about going back to Kamloops this year. Kamloops has been an exceptional host for training camp. The community support has been excellent. The corporate support has been excellent. And the city has been fantastic to work with. The facilities at TRU are comparable to any professional football club that you'll find who has outstanding facilities. And, we're in the process of finalizing our discussion with the city of Kamloops. We're reaching out to the corporate community to ensure continued corporate support, but we're optimistic that we'll be able to have an announcement in the near future about extending our agreement in Kamloops.
Yeah, to add to that, I second everything George said because the city, the fans, the court support has been there every year for us. But, I think the other thing that, is critical is the university. Thompson River University is an excellent, excellent facility. You can't ask for more than what they give us. The other thing that, is always important is the fact that we're a provincial team. And, us going to training camp out there allows, fans from Kamloops, from Merritt and all that to come, and see their team practice, see their team up and close and personal. And I think, that's extremely important to us. And, it is a little bit of an inconvenience, but yet it's well worthwhile, making that 4-hour trek into the interior. And, the other thing that's a big plus, and, early June, usually in Vancouver, it's raining, and Kamloops, the sun shines, it's warm, and sometimes the guys are complaining that it's too hot. So, there's a lot of things that are a big benefit. Kamloops pride itself in being the capital tournament of Canada, and, we support them in that way, and they've supported us in a lot of other ways.
Just to follow up on that, Wally, you mentioned the provincial aspect of it, and that's been used the other way as well to say maybe we do eventually need to get out of Kamloops and take training camp to another destination. But by today's words, it sounds like you want to extend that here beyond and try to make this a home for 10-plus years.
Well, that's true, and you're right. We always struggle with that. Do we move it? Do we look at, bringing the BC Lions somewhere else? When you look at the pros and the cons, believe me, there are so many pros and so few cons You know, probably the one biggest con is the fact that, as you say, we are a provincial team. You know, if we could, we would rather, you know, maybe do it. So let's just say maybe after 10, 15 years we'll look at it. But, you know, it's hard at this point to go somewhere else to get the things that we get, the support from the city, the support from the corporate people, the support from the fans, and then the facilities. You know, unfortunately, you have to measure all that, and you got to measure that against what benefits you have in moving your club.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Sean Midashi from Roundhouse Radio. Please go ahead.
So this is a question for Wally, and I just wanted to ask, you know, you've got a great quarterback, you've got a great running game. Do you think that this can be one of the CFL's most elite offenses?
We forgot that we have a great head coach. Got to have some humor, guys, relax, okay? You know what, I, as much as I'm a defensive coach, I have a strong, strong belief that, you know, to win championships, to win games, you got to be able to score points. And, you know, it excited me to no end to see our team last year be as dynamic as it was on offense, as balanced as we were with running the football, throwing the football. And, you know, when you look at it, you know, the CFL is an offensive-oriented league. Fans come to the ballpark to be excited. Fans come to see big plays. And, you know, I think Jonathan said over and over again, you know, his third year here with the continuity, with the coaches, with the players, with the system, you know, it's going to make for exciting football. And, you know, I think this is something that our fans demand, and as an organization, we want to give them.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Lowell Ulrich from TSN 1040 in Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Good morning. For Wally, I'll try to ask a question that doesn't get you fined. I wonder if I could get you to expand a little bit about something you said at the onset of free agency when you signed Chris Williams. You seemed to indicate at that point, I think maybe it was closer to CFL week, that you signed Chris for as much as his entertainment value as to what he could do schematically on the field, and the inference being that you needed to sort of do something to excite the fan base. How much of the general manager in you came out when you made that decision as opposed to the coach who needed some help to his receiving corps?
Well, no, I think, you know, you got, as when you have both roles, you got to always take into consideration both aspects. And, you know, Vancouver is a superstar city. You know, they love their superstars. They love their teams that are explosive, that are entertaining. They love their teams that win. And, you know, so we have, I believe, a very exciting team. And when you can get a player of Chris Williams' caliber, you know, Chris Williams scares people. I know he scared me when he was in Hamilton and, you know, when he was in Ottawa. And there's a reason why he scares you. He's explosive. He's dangerous. And, you know, take away the injury last year, and I'm not sure – you know, his numbers are even more impressive than they really are. So, you know, my whole theme as both a coach and a GM was to surround our quarterback with the best weapons he could have so that we could go out there, play a winning, exciting football. Yes, you know, you got to win, but you got to win with some excitement, and I thought last year we did that.
How are you going to monitor how are you going to monitor his reps at training camp given the injury?
Well, one of the things that we've already discussed about him, and God bless Chris, he's been so easy to work with and so accommodating, that he's agreed to come in, spend a couple of days with us before training camp, go to rookie camp, to, you know, see where he's at physically. You know, and I think once we start doing that whole process of doing it systematic, doing it slow, and do it methodically, you will have a good sense of where he's at. I think we did that last year with Solomon, and it worked out great. And I think Chris is no different. You know, these guys are always chomping at the bit at this time of the year to get on the field. But, you know, my job, the medical staff's job, is to temper that and make sure that we put him out there, but yet we monitor it so that There's no setbacks because, you know, we didn't bring Chris here for that. We brought him here to excite, you know, our fans and help us win games.
Last thing for me, Wally, just to double-check, is for East-West this weekend, is it just Dan and Mike Leonello that are representing the club?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Lowell, in your own way. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, God bless you, Roy. It's been a tough, tough couple of weeks for him. And, you know, we've asked you, Roy, to kind of understand that we have no, you know, commitment or obligation for him to fulfill any of his responsibilities with the club. He wanted to be here for the draft, which was good. But yet, at this point, David Braley would rather see him get his life in order, you know, take care of the priorities, which is his kids and himself, and then, you know, the rest will take care of itself. So we feel good that Dan's there. Mike Lionelli is a young guy that, you know, wanted the experience, which I think is a great experience for him, and we'll get the information we need from that week.
Fair enough, thanks.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on the telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from Jay Hanauer from Global BC. Please go ahead.
Wally, I'm glad that you mentioned G-Roy because it was nice to see him at your draft table. And I know you tweeted out this morning in regards to how your football fans can help G-Roy and his family. Maybe you could just bring us up to date on where G-Roy is at. I don't think anyone can fathom what him and his family are going through, but where is he at right now, and how can people help out the family? Because I know you did tweet something out this morning.
Well, you know what, and I've gotten a lot of communication from people, whether it's texts, emails, you know, all that stuff they do today. And, you know, a lot of people want to reach out and help him. And, you know, so what we've done is Dave Klassen, who's our chaplain, who, you know, has worked very closely with you, Roy, through this difficult time, you know, has established a GoFundMe program so that, you know, fans can go on and, you know, and donate a little something to help G-Roy offset some of the expenses that are going on, some of the uncertainty that's going to happen. And, you know, people want to help. And, you know, this is one way to help because, you know, a lot of things are going to be happening in the next couple of months, a lot of uncertainty in the next couple of months. And the one thing we definitely want to take away from them is, you know, is the, you know, is a financial thing. So, you know, from my understanding, and again, I'm not a high-tech guy, you can go on the internet at www.gofundme.com, Simon Family 2017. I'll say that again, www.gofundme.com, Simon Family 2017. And every little bit helps. And, you know, if we can take that pressure away from him, you know, at this point, I think it's going to be help. Plus, it gives him options, you know, whether to look at relocating or to look at hiring somebody or, you know, it's like I said, if it was me, I'd be totally lost, and any help I would have gotten would be very useful.
Thanks, Wally.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back to Mr. Barrett.
Thanks, Paul. Let's do one last call for questions. Paul, would you mind doing so?
Certainly. Once again, please press star 1 on the telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from Lowell Ulrich from TSN 1040 in Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Now, let me ask George, seeing we have you on the line, with regards to sort of the off-field focus of this club. The team had its lowest attendance at a playoff game in club history last year, despite the fact that you guys did a fantastic job of marketing the club in the week leading up to that game against Winnipeg. What did you take away from that, and what is that? How does that affect the approach that you're going to take, and when will there be visible signs of an increased marketing approach towards 2017?
Yeah, you know, actually that marketing approach is starting now, Lowell. You're going to see some transit boards. You're going to see some outdoor billboards, television and radio within the next few weeks. It'll kick off full flight. But to your question about the West semifinal, it wasn't a surprise for us. part of what we were dealing with is not knowing that we were going to clinch that playoff game until the game prior. When you have a week to sell tickets after confirming that you're in the playoffs, it's always a tough challenge. Historically, the semifinal is a lot more difficult sell than the final. And what blew me away when looking at this situation, I didn't realize that we had not had a semifinal in this marketplace at home until 1986. And if I had to make a bet and bet money on it, I would have lost, because I've been here for over 20 years, and I could have swore that we had had a semifinal in that time. So, you know, it's always a challenge. You know, would we have liked more fans? Yes. But, you know, I think we did put a big push out there with regards to that playoff game, and we had probably one of the most entertaining games, I think, in the sports market period since we won the Grey Cup in 2011. You know, when you look back at that game, we were losing going into the fourth quarter 31-19 and ended up winning 32-31 on a fabulous play that Jonathan Jennings made to get us in the end zone late in the game with less than a minute to play. And, you know, we heard earlier about the response that our fans had when Manny got hurt, with everyone on their feet cheering. And, you know, I think that's one thing that's become evident, is that we felt we had good players. I think you saw a lot of stars emerge last season in this marketplace, guys like Jonathan Jennings, fourth quarterback in franchise history that's ever thrown for over 5,000 yards in a game. When you talk about Manny Arsenal, he's the first receiver, Lions receiver, to have 105 receptions in a single season since G. Roy Simon did it back in 2006. When you got a guy like Solomon Alamimian, who's been the most outstanding defensive player in the Canadian Football League two out of the last 3 years, and coming back from a torn Achilles that he had the year prior, just a phenomenal achievement. So, you know, I think our fans throughout the province are starting to resonate with our players and the star power that some of these players have, and we want to build on that. You know, what we basically want to do is build that connection between our casual fans and the star players that we have. And our campaign is going to reflect that. You're going to see a behind-the-look image of our players underneath the face mask. We had a number of them here. Jonathan was up here for that about a month ago to do the shoot. And you'll see their faces all over the place in the marketplace, and you know, with captions. Who is Jonathan Jennings? Who is Manny Arsenal? Come to the next game to find out. So, you know, increasing the attendance at the games is a priority for every club. As long as you have seats to sell, you've got to keep working at trying to fill those seats. And it is a team effort. You know, I can't say, and I won't say that, you know, it all comes down to winning. Because when I say a team effort, it resonates through every aspect of the organization. Our people selling tickets, our customer service department, our marketing department, our game operations department. You know, it's something that everyone works to try and accomplish. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're pretty optimistic about what our season is going to be in 2017. And we're looking forward to it.
Thanks, George.
Thank you. The next question is from Sean Midashi from Roundhouse Radio. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so just hoping you could touch on that a little bit more. What would you like to say to your fans about this season? Because, Wally, it seems like you've built a really exciting team.
Well, I mean, you know, we have a good ingredients just to build an exciting team. You know, I'm a big believer that you go to training camp, you work hard, you start building your chemistry, you start building your team, but you always start from scratch. So, you know, I'm not one to over-deliver or over-promise, but I do believe that, as Jonathan, I think, has said over and over again, that there's a lot of confidence in the guys in that locker room. They have confidence in each other. As Jonathan says, hey, he's not opposed to putting the ball out there because he knows that his guys are going to go get it for him. You know, and that's all part of something that has to be developed and has to be grown. And, you know, what I'm going to tell our fans is, like I told them last year, hey, the guys are going to come, they're going to play hard, they're going to give us a great effort, they're going to be physical. We want to be exciting, we want to be entertaining, and we want to win football games. And, you know, professional sports is about winning, and, you know, everybody loves a winner. But I think in today's world, people also want to be entertained. And, you know, sports is a little bit of both. But it's also, too, about a fan leaving the ballpark feeling good about himself. And I thought last year, you know, that happened a lot more than maybe in years past.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered. I will return the meeting back to Mr. Barrett.
Thanks, Paul. I'd like to thank Wally, George, and Jonathan for giving up their time today and participating on the call. The audio from this call will be made available within the hour. And just to note, season preview calls continue tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Time with the Calgary Stampeders. Thanks again, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Barrett. The conference call has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.